Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Dousable, with my teammates, six-time Pro Bowler,
now I'm
wide receiver Brandon Marshall, and Pro Bowl corner for the Kansas City Chiefs, Brandon Flowers. And we got my guy, the snowman, Deion Dawkins, Pro Bowl offensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills. He's going to talk
some. Put respect on his name, bro. You don't do a good job. Deion Sanders coming soon.
I'm about to talk about that. I'm talking about Deion Dawkins right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying you said the left tackle
for Pro Bowl tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Bro, I need a little bit
Buffalo
more.
Bills. That makes a difference.
That dude, you see him, bro, his swagger, his fashion, his
it's a little different.
My dog stay swagged up. But also, big coming up, Deion Sanders, Mr. Prime himself. We will discuss with him the allegations of Nick Saban saying that Jackson State paid $1 million for a player. But
spicy.
It's very spicy. But let's talk a little bit about the Buffalo Bills, Deion. You guys, big free agent signing this offseason. A guy that's going to push you and ultimately, I would say, make you better, right?
Von
Miller.
Deion, I like to get messy. Let's get straight to it. One-on-one is going to be some legendary matchup coming at the end of July. July 27, y'all reporting. We got training camp. Who wins that one-on-one battle, you or Von? Von,
yeah. Are you crazy? First of all, I know that is not a real question. I would never say any man is about to beat me in nothing. I'm picking me over anybody. Now, you already know I respect life. I respect Von. You, like, Von is a legend, but I'm going with me, Snow. Every rep, everything. But you feel me, Von? I ain't going to sharpen iron, just like you feel me? But it's
show,
man.
I like that, D. This B Flowers right here, man. How do y'all keep this chip on y'all shoulder, knowing that everybody got y'all projected so high to do this in the playoffs? Mike can play in the Super Bowl. Add somebody like Von, Kyir Elam out of the draft, who will be a top corner in the league. He got ball skills. How do y'all come in hungry, you know, and just ready to make that run this year instead of just saying, we know what we got, you know, and just falling under the eight ball?
Well, truly, it starts with us letting the world understand, and honestly, not even that, letting each other in the locker room understand. Last year is over with. The year before that is over with. The year before that is over with. There's all these media outlets that's riding us. They are all on top of us just going crazy. And, the Bills is this, the Bills is that. And we know, right, every year is getting harder, and it will get harder because people – respect us. People like want to give us their best ball. So us relaying the message to the younger guys and to the guys that are going to play special teams, the guys that are coming in, that last year is over with. Like, we got to prove it all over again. Yeah. Our record is 0-0. So all of them wins, all of them yards, all of them catches, all of them passes, that stuff don't mean nothing this year. So it's the full turning kit that we understand that we're going for, and we are there mentally with understanding the task at hand. We are the Buffalo Bills. We have a great quarterback. We have a great receiving core. We have a great offensive line, great D-line, great everything. And just because we look great on paper does not mean that we're going to be great on the field. And we understand that it has to be put into action. So with the guys that are leading and the guys that are the are the voices of the locker room. We are just relaying that message that it's not just going to happen. It's never just going to happen, and it's going to be harder than ever. And we understand the task at hand, which is why we are here present in OTAs and getting this thing done.
We're talking to Pro Bowl offensive tackle Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills. And Deion, let's talk about one more of your teammates, a guy that me and Brandon know personally, Gabe Davis, right? I know you're really cool with Gabe Davis. How special can this guy be? We heard the GM come out and says, you know, he's not even going to talk about how special Gabe Davis could be. 200 plus yards in a playoff game, B. Marsh. You ever done that?
No.
Four touchdowns.
In one game?
In one game in the playoffs versus the Chiefs. Yeah. How special can this kid be, man? Because I loved him. I've been following him. And again, he went to the greatest university in the land.
Right? Yeah, cut it out.
You know what I'm saying? He went to the greatest university in the land. But yeah, I mean, I've been following this kid since he was a freshman. And I knew he was going to be special. Just talk about him a little bit.
I mean, shoot, I'm gonna talk him up because he's up. So Gabe is him. And Gabe understands that. Gabe understands that he is a different caliber of receiver. He is the next everything in my mind and our locker room's mind. And he works. And he's not just a one-game star. He's been doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. He does it in practice. He does it when nobody's looking. He does it in the field house. He does it when we're in Florida. He does it when he's on vacation. Gabe is a workaholic, and he has the character, he has the spirit, he has the bright star. Gabe is just what it is, and Gabe is a crucial piece to our team that we all need. Like, Gabe brings that positive energy in the locker room. He's always making guys smile. He's always lifting guys' spirits up, and he catches footballs, and he scores touchdowns. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So the fact that he's catching balls and scoring touchdowns, that's a plus. So there's all pluses, no minuses. So, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful to call him a teammate.
The fact that he's scoring all these touchdowns, right? We all know y'all got a guy, a signal calling Josh Allen, who's throwing these dimes, right? We know how he is as a player, but how is he in the locker room as a leader, right? Because I played for a quarterback like Alex Smith, who's chill. He leads by example. He's not a rah-rah guy, but he gets the job done. And I played with Phillip Rivers, who will take control of the meeting room, the practice every day, and let you know what you need to do to be successful on the field. He was like a coach on the field. What kind of leader is Josh Allen?
I don't know if it's biased to say Josh is an all-around leader, but he's an all-around leader. He's all of those pieces. You know, I'm never really in the quarterback room, obviously, but in the offensive unit room, you know, Josh listens. He listens, and before any speaks, he doesn't like try to throw his weight around. But on the field, whenever he touches that in that field, it's Josh Allen. So his voice, his word, his look at this, you're going there and this and that. He has full control of the situation at all time. And in the locker room, he's one of the funniest guys. You know, he is literally, I don't like want to call him a kid because he's a grown man now. So, but in a sense, he is a kid.
Give us an grown example man. Of how funny he is. Give us something.
Oh man, Josh. So like all of those little I got you jokes or like a D's joke, that's Josh. Josh is gonna catch you slipping. You're gonna be in a regular like conversation with him. And it's going to like be like, da 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 da, and he'd be like, I got you. And then it's just like, whatever. But but that's Josh. Josh can bring the personality out of somebody. And for a quarterback that's not just like a mannequin, like with no like personality, Josh is also him.
Top five? Is he top five quarterback in a game?
And Josh is top five quarterback in the league, in the game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. On and off. Yes. Josh. So
rank them.
Josh is top.
Quarterbacks in the NFL right now. You know how he's getting messed up. What? Top five quarterbacks.
Shit. Josh Allen. Shit, look. Josh Allen. I'm going to say Tom Brady. I'm going
to
say.
In order.
Start from five and go to one.
Yeah, five to one. What?
5-1. I mean,
1-5. You know, some of us make what's it? Dyslexic.
Hold on, yo.
You know, I know a lot of people listening right now might be dealing with that. So
yeah, so
play around with that.
Dang. So top five, definitely, and number one is Josh. I'm gonna say Josh, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and that's it. Just top three, man. That's it.
Top three.
Hold on, did he say Josh number one?
Josh is number one. Josh is the number one quarterback in the league.
What about Mahomes? That Patrick Mahomes ain't number one. That.
What? Pat?
They got beef.
That's the rival.
No. Look. First of all, it's all in respect. But I'm going Josh. So if we don't go forward, then
you being biased because you're Bill Mafia? Like
what? That's I'm his left tackle. That's the best quarterback in the league. So we can put Pat at four. What else? What else? What you want, B?
I like it. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my teammates Brandon Marshall and Brandon Flowers. And we're with Deion Dawkins, Pro Bowl offensive tackle, left tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Bro, more respect.
Left tackle.
Bro, this dude, y'all follow this man. This dude, tell him your handle. This dude swaggy. Yo, What's your handle? What's your Instagram account?
Oh, man. So Jersey Star, JerzeyStar. Yeah, and dudes know. I'm all personality, man.
Yeah, so he's got a big personality. But I do have a question for you, right? Because a lot of people in the sports game have been asking this question. I wanted to hear it, your answer directly from you. But with Brian Daboll leaving and going to the New York Giants, some people said he kind of, I don't want to say made Josh Allen, but that's when Josh Allen really transformed or transcended when Brian Daboll was there. Do you guys maybe worry about maybe there being a drop off with Brian Daboll leaving because he was such a mastermind on offense?
I don't have no worries. I know who Josh is. Daboll, we love him. I love him. But no, nobody thinks about none of that weird stuff. Josh is coachable. And Josh is going to adapt to a situation. And that's where he's at now. He has a different coach. He has a different, you know, little mixing pot, but not even truly, because his like the coordinator now is what's his quarterback coach. So it's kind of what are we really talking about? Dorsey was Josh's quarterback coach for them previous years. And now he's a coordinator. So stuff has really not have changed.
So no drop off. So basically what you're saying is no drop off. Y'all going to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I don't talk like that. I don't talk like that.
Why as active athletes, why are we scared to make predictions, dudes? Like, why?
Well, you know why. You
Nah. I don't. Come on. First of all, you know why. We don't talk. We don't talk. There ain't no talk. We all action.
Deion Dawkins said the Bills are winning the Super Bowl. We don't care what anybody.
No talk. All action. All action. We got game one to get through, so we want to talk about game one. Yes, that's what we're going for. So, the first dub. We got to stack dubs up to get there. I don't want to even think about that.
So speaking of Deion, Deion Sanders will be joining us in 15 minutes. So, dudes, I know we want to continue this conversation with this Deion, big double D. So, where we at?
This is what I got to ask, right? I like having you on because you can give us inside the locker room, inside the helmet on what made people great, right? You talked about Josh Allen, how he's a leader, how he makes the team fun and y'all chemistry. That's why y'all winning games, too. Y'all like being around each other.
Yeah.
Higgs, he a hell of a player. I see y'all dancing in practice, dancing on game day, having fun. Him and Josh, chemistry, man, it's just like second to none. Like, just for the high school receivers and their quarterbacks, or the college receivers and their quarterback, what do that chemistry start? Now, is it in the film room? Are they real friends off the field? Do they practice before, after practice? Like, how do they get that chemistry down to be so good on the field?
You know, it truly comes with catching the ball and throwing the right passes. If Josh is throwing the right passes and trusting to catch the ball, he's coming down and catching it, they're going to run up. They're going to throw energy at each other, and that's going to build a bond. And then off of the field, if they're in the weight room, dudes is working, dudes is obviously looking, dudes is eyeing dudes up and making sure that dudes are on the right track. And that also goes into it, but it comes down to it when we are on the field in situations where you can build in that trust, where it's a tight game and the world knows that Stephon, you're getting the ball. Is you going to catch the ball or not? And when he catches it, that just keeps building. It just keeps building. So what they are doing, they're stacking bricks on bricks on bricks to, you know, inform that brotherly bond so nobody could ever knock it down.
Deion, we're going to bring in our producer, Anthony. He had a question for you. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Deion, you're talking about Stephon Diggs, obviously one of the best receivers in the game, but let's not forget, brother, you had two reception touchdowns yourself.
Swaggy tight end.
I do.
Tight end position.
You did after you caught the Patriots touchdown in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. Let's talk about that for a second.
You know what, Anthony? Thank you, dog. You know what? Thank you, man. You feel me? Thank you. For anybody, look, and for B. Marsh that know this, you know how hard it is to catch a touchdown. But, yes, I do have two tutties. I'm thankful for it. I'm definitely blessed. I'm definitely gifted. I can definitely catch, and I will definitely catch over you. So I will definitely do it. So, but truly though, like all jokes aside, that ticket and was punched, and I just, you know, signed off on that ticket. It was just a play. My entire life, every big guy wants to score, wants to be in the end zone. But, you know, I'm definitely thankful. I do have two. You know, and my thought is I have one. Now I want to break the record. I have two. I'm definitely pushing towards it, and I want it, and I believe Donald Penn has it.
I'm about to say you're talking about record for O-linemen catching touchdowns.
Say it again.
You're talking about for O-linemen catching touchdowns?
What you think, bro? I'm not out there catching touchdowns all day.
What's the record?
I think it's like 7 or 8.
Wow, that's a lot, bro.
And if I'm correct, it's Donald Penn. If I'm correct.
He wasn't O-lineman.
It's Donald Penn.
How many does he have?
I'm gonna say it's between that 6 and 8 window.
Yeah, Donald Penn used to get the ball.
So listen, you have 10 seconds to talk to that offensive coordinator.
That's what I'm gonna bring up.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator. Well, the quarterback's coach, now offensive coordinator. You know, we're talking about Josh Allen, but you got 10 seconds to talk to him about how he need to help you get the record. So
well, Deion, honestly,
truly, yo, listen,
no, truly, nothing. Talk to your offensive coordinator.
That's a personal goal where if it come, it come, and I'm talking about but like, first of all, I don't want to take away nothing from none of my skinny guys, and I call them skinny.
What I'm saying is, if Dunk could
get in there and get it done, let's get it done.
If we like to role play on this show, right? So got Brandon Flowers is what's your offensive
coordinator? Ken Dorsey.
And you're Deion Dawkins. Talk to your coach.
We on the 2-yard line, coach. I need the ball. Go and explain.
Dude, tell him what's the record.
So honestly, Deion, you're only two away from tying the record, right? Donald Penn, Joe Valerio, and Anthony Muniz have the receiving touchdown record right now at 4. Three guys tied with 4. So you only need three more touchdowns. You get the record.
So talk to your coach.
Tell him he's right. Talk to your offensive coordinator.
All right. Well, look, let's keep it G. Hey, coach, if we on a two yard line, get a ball to your playmakers. And that's Steph, that's Gabe, that's the guys that do this every day. But if we do need some change up, let's change it up.
I don't think you sound too confident, man. I'm not,
my goal is not to go in the game and score no touchdowns. I want to block every block for Josh. But if we're having fun and things can go and, you know, we could get a little dark snow pass, let's do it.
That's
why
we win championships, bro. Let's
win championships.
Well, Deion, man, we appreciate you coming by and talking with us. That's Deion Dawkins, Pro Bowl left tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hall of Fame sportscaster Leslie Visser. And if you love sports the way I do, the people, the passion, then you'll enjoy my podcast, In Conversation, every Thursday. I've drawn from 45 years of covering all sports with people like Billie Jean King and David Duchovny and the merry prankster himself, Bill Walton.
I have reached the top of the mountain. I am having a conversation with Leslie Visser, my hero.
So please listen and subscribe wherever you stream your podcasts.
If you haven't been paying attention to the sports news, Nick Saban called out Jackson State for paying a player $1 million to come to Jackson State. And we're going to bring in our producer, Evan, to give the background story on that. And before Evan comes on, we're going to actually have the head coach of Jackson State come, Deion Sanders. Primetime will be here in just a few minutes to discuss the allegations that Nick Saban had for Jackson State.
Yeah, the long story short here, dudes, is that Nick Saban, the head coach of Alabama, was bitching and complaining about how the NIL system is hurting Alabama's ability to recruit. You know, you may have heard that Alabama turned in the number two recruiting class this year behind Texas A&M. He complained about Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher went scorched earth and said that Nick Saban is a terrible person, basically. You can hear all that sound all over the internet. But more specifically to Deion Sanders, he also singled out Jackson State, and he said, quote, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to the school. He was talking about Travis Hunter, who's a five-star prospect who was originally committed to Florida State and then flipped and then signed to Jackson State, which is an HBCU, Deion Sanders. It was a big, big deal because HBCUs, especially Jackson State, like, they don't typically land these kind of high-profile five-star athletes, and Deion did. It's a huge, huge deal. And to have Nick Saban kind of sully it and be like, hey, you only got him because you guys paid. Deion's upset. I mean, he has hinted at that on social media. He's basically said it's a lie, number one. And number two, he's got some words for Nick Saban. So we reached out to Deion Sanders earlier and we said, hey, man, we'd love to have you on the show to give us your thoughts. And Deion said, I'll be there. So Deion's a very busy man, but he has told us that he will be on the show any minute now. So we are waiting for Deion's arrival. And as soon as we get here, obviously the first question that we want to ask him is like, What do you have to say to a guy like Nick Saban after all this, all day long? I'm dying to hear what Deion Sanders has to say here.
Before we, you know, jump into, you know, us bouncing around until Deion gets here, Evan, I always love your opinion. You know, what's your thoughts on all of this mess and this drama today?
I think that I think it's a lot of sour grapes on from Nick Saban, man. Stop complaining. You're supposed to be the head ball coach. Like, lean in. Like, look, everybody has the ability to do NIL now, right? We know that, like, USC, we were talking about this the other day, they have it puts them in a great position to start bringing in players because they're based in, you know, Hollywood, Los Angeles. They can connect people to the agencies and get NIL deals, all that stuff. Nick Saban's got to lean into what he does best, and that is we're going to be winners. We're going to be able to feature you on national television every week. We're going to be able to prep you guys with the best coaches and specialists in college football and probably get you to the NFL. So stop complaining that you're being that NIL makes it unfair to you and just lean into what's working. I love what Jimbo Fisher said, and that's why I'm so excited to hear from Deion. And by the way, Deion is connecting right now, everyone. So Deion Sanders, the legend Deion Sanders is joining us right now.
You sure?
Coach Deion, you there?
Oh, yeah, you hear a dude say, hey. Coach Deion. Don't call him. He said, don't call him. What do we call you? What do we call you? We want to make sure we get this right.
You call me Coach Pratt. You call me Cody. When I go by Cody as well.
Cody, what's Cody? What's Cody short for?
Yeah, there's Coach of the Year. That's what they were.
Coach of the Year.
Let's go.
Nah, Coach, we really truly appreciate you stopping by I Am Athlete Tonight to talk with us today. I'm just going to get right into it, man. After Nick Saban's allegation.
Well, I don't see y'all. I want to see y'all when I talk to you. I need to see y'all, man. Put your things on. I need to see y'all faces, man. I don't see nobody.
Swipe left, no. They say swipe left.
Okay, there you go. Technology, man. It's fucking technology, y'all.
No, Cody. I love your relationship with your sons and your kids, your sons and daughters.
Thank you.
But they're the ones running a lot of the social. So you need to have them come teach you how to swipe left.
Well, that's my oldest son. He runs the socials.
Cody, as you like to be called, let's go ahead and get into it. You know, Nick Saban came out, had some choice words saying that the Jackson State program paid $1 million to get a recruit there, talking about Travis Hunter. What is your response to that?
Well, first of all, we don't have $1 million. You know, if you've been to Jackson State and you understand how the program works, you understand there's a deficit not only in our program, but every program. And we're trying to close that deficit right now. We're doing a darn good job of it. Last year, we raised $30 million for the city of Jackson alone. That's what they told us. So I'm pretty sure it was probably about 40 because they ain't tell us about $10 million of it. So we're doing a great job in what we're accomplishing in Jackson State, and we're changing the whole paradigm of HBCU football, and we're trying to be the catalyst and the model for all HBCUs on how to do business on the field, off the field, in the boardrooms, as well as all facets, even attracting these Fortune 500 companies to come into the realm and help us tremendously. But $1 million, this I would never do that if we even had it, because that would destroy the fabric of our team. That would destroy all of my thought process and how I teach work, reward. I teach work. You paying kids millions of dollars in college, how are they still hungry? Mm. I mean, how are they still hungry? How you pay a kid more than you pay coaches in college?
So now you're
risking. I'm sorry. Let me finish the statement. You're risking the that line
integrity
of college football. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The media don't attack college players like they attack pro players. They don't do it because you're still an amateur. And they don't say certain things. You never see them blast a college quarterback or someone who you never see that. When these guys start getting paid and you're making more than the reporters that's reporting and some of your coaches, that opens you up for scrutiny, man. These kids ain't built like that. They're not ready for that mentally and emotionally and psychologically. They ain't ready for that, man. And we're opening the can that they're not ready to minister to.
Right. So Coach Evan, we're going to bring our producer Evan in shortly. I know he has a couple questions as well. But before we get to Evan and Brandon Flowers is on the show, and we got Lejay Duzabor, our host of I Am Athlete Tonight.
Brandon was nice with it, too.
I appreciate that, Prime. Yeah,
Brandon was really nice.
High praise.
What did you like about Brandon Flowers' game, Coach?
I'm just Cody, he was Cody. Nice. Don't dissect it. Don't do him like that.
Last year we were blessed to have you come on I Am Athlete.
Had a great time, man, with y'all, man.
Great time. And one of the sound bites that came out of that legendary sound bites was, you know, like Channing Crowder asked you, he was like, man, I don't see how HBCU, you guys go to YouTube, watch, it's one of our all time great shows. And one of the sound bites that came out was, you know, Channing Crowder says to you, he's like, how does a HBCU compete with the Power Five? And you responded like, you know how you do it? You bring in a conduit, you know, for change.
What a plan.
When you heard these, you said your son woke you up this morning and he's the one that informed you of Coach Nick Saban's comments. You know, what was the first thing that went through your mind, right? Because a lot of us wonder, right? Like, you know, I look up to you, not only like, not because from a football standpoint, but what you did post-career, right? We're talking about, we got Michael Strahans of the world making $20, $30, $40 million a year in media. And you're right there. I don't know what you were making, but you're right there. You made the leave and go to coach.
He said,
right? You went not only go leave and go coach, but you left to go to HBCU. Right. So that hit hard for me. You know, so I guess my question for you is, you know, break that down for me, that dynamic, you know,
that hit. Like when my son called me, first of all, when your child called you, they know I go to sleep early, you know, unless I'm on Netflix and, you know, whatever. When he called me, I'm like, what's wrong? You all right? Yeah, Dad, you ain't hear what this dude said? I said, what are you talking about? And he sent me the article. I said, don't worry about it. I got it. I handle it. And just that quickly, God gave me words to spit out, because I had to respond real quick to let them know I'm going to respond. Don't worry about it. I'm going to respond. And the conclusion of the tweet that I put out was, we don't have to pay our people to play with our people. It was something to that extent, but it was crappy. It was keen. And I said, okay, I got the attention. But I got it, because you never want to make a declaration or give a response based on emotions. You always want to always bring it down. Always, no matter what, especially in relationships, bring it down.
I love
okay? it. We go with a sound mind and sit back and relax. And just, you know, think it through. So once I thought it through, I said, you know what? I don't want to just hit play and spit. I don't want to do that. That's too easy. Let me sit down with one of my guys, Jean-Jacques Taylor, who is a journalist who writes for Sports Illustrated as well as ESPN, the magazine. And he's done several stories and he's been down with me ever since I was a Cowboy. So he came over to the crib and we just sat down. I said, look, three things I got to do. I got to be professional. That's number one. Let's keep that straight. I got to be professional. I'm a head coach. People are looking up to me and dependent on me. I say, number two, I got to represent our people. I got to represent our people well. And number three, I got to check him so he knows, don't play with me. Mm. So I wanted to accomplish those three things. And I think we did. Where are phones going on? People calling and now, there we go. I wanted to accomplish those three things and I think we did. Matter of fact, I know we did. Right. So it wasn't even about, I'm a thinker, my man, Brandy, I'm a thinker. You a thinker. You guys are thinkers. Like, I'm a critical thinker. That thing wasn't about me. When I look through the smoke and through the fire, Coach Saban used me and used Jimbo Fisher as pawns in his plea for help from his boosters and his donors. We were just pawns. So now, he was really going at his people to up the ante so that he could outdo Coach Fisher. Right. Now, they just threw me in the fire because of what we accomplished in recruiting last year with Kevin Coleman and Travis and some others. They just threw us in the fire because he was the spokesman for all SEC and he was the spokesman for all the Power Fives and the PWIs by saying, hey, y'all, we can't let that happen again now. I'm going to go out on a limb. So I don't blame him, man. I know what he was trying to do. I saw through the bull jump. I really did.
Right. So I'm gonna throw two things at you, let you respond. I love you. You're a thinker, but you're also a talker. So I'm going to let you respond to these two things. Yeah. One, you know, how did you get Travis Hunter then, right? Like, how do you get a guy and flip a guy to go from a Power 5 to a HBCU? That's
well,
one.
You, second thing. You call it flip. No, give me one at a time. I'm too old.
No, you can't. You got it. You're a thinker.
I can't remember.
Let him respond.
Go.
Let me get the first one first. I can't remember the second. Okay. First of all, I don't call it flip because he had never visited Jackson State. He had never been to a HBCU. All he heard about all his whole life was this, that at the Powers. Now, getting him on campus and bringing him to an HBCU game and a game of that magnitude where we got 60,000 of yo people in there screaming, hollering, and yelling, and shouting, and you never seen that like it because you've never seen that many people. You can fathom. Y'all can't fathom seeing 60,000, man, of yo people on one accord. I mean, having a good time, man. Ain't nobody going to jail, ain't nobody tripping, ain't nobody doing no crazy, ain't nobody shooting, ain't nobody robbing, ain't nobody stealing. We all out there for one plausible cause. That was a beautiful thing, and we won. Right. And he got to see a guy that he looked up to in his element, living in his purpose. Mm. I was in my bag. Pre-game speech, post-game, during the game, I'm in my bag. I'm doing what God has blessed me to do, and you see that at that level. And you saying, dang, I never even fathomed that this could be like that. Now the door is open and the gate is open. And we talked to Mama. And see, one of those other schools made a mistake. Well, Mama said, don't do this, and they did that.
What was that?
And they got, okay.
You know, see, come on, give us something, bro.
They made a mistake. Mama said, don't do this, and you did that. Now that's a wrap.
Yeah.
And we was 100. We kept it 100. We kept it straight. We ain't trying to buy you. We ain't trying to solicit you. We ain't trying to do none of it. And they didn't want to be bought anyway. They don't even get down like that. So we got and Travis wanted to learn from me, man. He really wanted. When we do one-on-ones right now, Travis said, Coach, can you come over? I said, Travis, you know I got a whole team to watch sooner. Can you come over and just watch this? Coach, 7-on-7, Coach, can you come on my side? Like, Travis. Like, but he wanted like that. But I love it because he wanted like that. He's pulling it out of me. He wants it like that. He competes at everything. We fishing. He compete. Mm. He competing.
This is like, man,
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doosable, with Brandon Marshall and Brandon Flowers. And we have Coach Prime,
Cody.
Coach of the year, head coach for the Jackson State University football team. Now, Cody, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but Nick Saban did a press conference when he came out and he said he reached out to you, and we're going to play that audio of him saying that he reached out and called you.
I reached out to him, never got a response, but, you know, I feel bad about it, but I'm not changing my philosophy on, you know, I look at the betterment of college football. What is good for the game?
So, Cody, first of all, Nick Saban
kind really, of force.
I would say, did Nick Saban really reach out to you? And two.
Yeah, he did. Okay. He reached out to my people. He didn't reach out to me because he don't have myself. He reached out to my people for certain. He did.
Okay. Will you sit down and talk with him?
Let me tell you how I get down. If you go at me in public,
I know
we got to deal with it in public. Don't go at me in public and try to solve it in private. We can't do that. Let's come on a forum publicly and deal with it publicly. I don't do that. I'm not finna shine on you, both Brandon. In public, they come to you private and say, hey, fellas, man, you know, I'm bad, man. When I was on I Am Athlete Radio, you know, I was tripping, man. But you, no, man. No. You showed up publicly. We got to deal with it publicly. We can't do it no other way. That ain't right. That ain't cold. You got to understand, I don't hold grudges. I have the utmost respect for Coach Saban. Coach Saban is the magna cum laude to me of all college football coaches. Coach Saban will probably, what he's accomplished in college football may never be accomplished again. I love who he is as a coach.
That's why I was disappointing.
What he said and what he did, that's just a moment, man. I'm not going to put him in a category just because he had a bad moment. That's not who he is. He had a bad moment. He got caught up. He had a bad moment.
And that clip was courtesy of Campus with Jacob Hester and Bobby Carpenter on ESPNU Radio Channel 84. Brandon Flowers, I know you got a question.
So my thing was Cody.
Don't say Prime.
You ain't see the whole exchange with Cody.
Y'all respect Saban, respect me.
I seen it. That's why I caught myself.
Prime is good. We good. We can't.
Now, I like that you're a critical thinker, right? But initially, when you say your son woke you up, I want to know, because when I heard this, right, it stung me. the way he alleged these things about Jackson State, you know, because I like what you're doing over there and what you bring into HBCUs.
And our people.
And our people, correct. Right? So I want to know for you, what was the thing that disappointed you or stung you initially the most? Was it the fact that somebody from Coach Saban's caliber was the one that alleged this? Or was it the fact that, did he really feel like I can't just get a kid like this outright and I can't compete with the top dogs?
Okay. I like that, my brother, because you own it. The thing that stung was that, so you feel like it's no connectivity for the culture and for our people, that the only way we could do that is we pay him. Mm-hmm. So that's how you feel? Like that, so it's no way that I could secure a Power 5 caliber player. And he said a D1 player. He said a D1 caliber player or something of that nature that he said. Like he chose something less to participate in than what they can offer. And he chose less. And then I started thinking, so 14 years in the NFL at a certain level don't qualify me. Mm-hmm. So being in the Hall of Fame don't qualify me. So being a father of five, a real their father of five, don't qualify me. So being a HBCU football coach and winning don't qualify me. See, just being a real person and there for my friends, family members, and loved ones, and whoever else don't qualify me. I've coached the Under Armour All-American game for, I think, 14 years straight. Some of the best players in the nation, so that don't qualify me. Mm-hmm. I've coached high school football for a plethora of years and won four straight state championships. That don't qualify me. Like, so I'm disqualified from a guy that looks like me, talks like me, walks like me, and kind of want to be like me. That's a problem for me.
Cody, hearing you just answer that question, I got tears in my eyes.
Me too.
I'm sorry with the soliloquy, but
let me ask you this question. Are you bigger than the coach? Are you more than the coach?
No. Or more than the coach.
And the reason why I say that is because when you said that your tweet, Evan, can you come in and read the tweet real quick? Because
yes, sir. I got it right here for you. Here's the tweet that he said. He said, quote, "You best believe I will address that lie Coach Saban told. I was awakened by my son that sent me the article stating we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play at Jackson State. We as a people don't have to pay our people to play with our people."
Mm-hmm. So the reason I don't know why you had tears in your eyes, but before we throw it to you, Coach Prime, you know, B, I want to have a little exchange with you, bro. Like what I felt, because like hearing Coach Prime's tweet is like, bro, like, we're in this position as a people. And let's be clear, we're talking about minorities, talking about Black people being in position of power, being in position to change things, bring other people with us. As we climb the ladder, we're able to pull people with us, right? And there's a lot of things happening in media and sports right now. And so when I hear people, I hear like, you know, like, man, like Prime is doing something different. Coach Prime is doing something different and he's sacrificing. So I don't know. I'm not going to try to put any label on him, but I'm thinking, you know, civil rights leader, whatever, but it's just different, bro. He's going to go down in the history books, you know, doing something totally different. So I don't know why you got teary-eyed.
It's just because of what he's doing for us, right? HBCUs, minorities, coming from where we're coming from. Like, if you're a skill position guy, you want to be like Prime. I don't care what generation you came up in. You showing them, you're not only a coach, you're a father figure. And just the way you just interpreted your response, like you represent us so well. It's more like I'm proud. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just to hear the way he just verbalized that, you know, for me, it just sit well. And that's why he one of my favorite people. Sometimes I just listen to you talk. I go to some of your speeches and what you do and just hear you talk, because you give us hope, you give us promise, and you just represent us well, Prime, Cody. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what you do for us, for me. So for just for me to hear that answer, the way you even just put that, the way you did, it was special for me to hear.
So back to my question, are you bigger than the coach?
Well, I don't know what you mean by bigger than the coach, because that could be taken somewhat different. I'm more than a coach.
I'm going to say like more than a coach.
I'm more than a coach. Like, My most relaxed times at Jackson State are when I'm on the field coaching, because as soon as I blow that whistle and we end practice, I become Tyler Perry. You know, I got to write the play, produce the play, pay for the play, edit the play, cut the play, choose the people in the play. I got to do a multiplicity of things. And I love it. I'm not going to say I don't love it, because I love every minute of it. But it's much more than just coaching. It's so much more than coaching. Hey, look, one of my kids, and I call my kid, not my biological, my kid, they play for me, FaceTimed me from the airport yesterday in Atlanta. Four-star receiver, bad boy, a year ago. He didn't even play last year due to grades, and he had to get it right. Love him. Work in project. A project. He's a project. Work in progress. I'm sorry. And wanted me to talk to the lady that was helping him in the airport. And I said, hey, baby, how you doing? She said, oh, Coach Pratt, such and such. I said, you know what? I'm pretty sure he's never flown in the first class. Since I'm going to do this and take this picture with you, can you upgrade him to first class, please, so he could have that wonderful experience? Because I know you're capable of doing that and just giving him something that he's never encountered before. And we exchanged. She took the picture, cool. And I looked at him before he got off the phone. He said, thank you, Coach. I appreciate it. He had her all Jackson State stuff. So what probably transpired is he came up with Jackson State stuff. She said something about me, and he said, I could call my coach right now. Mm-hmm. I like that. That I'm reachable, man. I'm touchable. That he feel like I could call my coach right now. And I don't know what he could ever be dealing with in life, because I know he's dealt with some tremendous obstacles. But I want to be able, and I want to be available when he's going through hell, and him knowing that I could call him right now.
That's right. More than
I like that, man. Mm-hmm. I like that. Just right. That little moment that we had, it was so much more than that exchange at the ticket counter to me.
Coach,
we're talking to Cody, Coach of the Year, Coach Prime, and football coach of Jackson State. We're going to bring in our producer, Evan. I know he had a question for you, Cody.
Yeah, Coach Prime, thank you for doing
Cody,
the show.
Cody.
I like Coach Prime.
I just want to be the most respectful possible thing I can possibly be, sir. Thank you so much for doing this. I have a question for you. Nick Saban just was quoted moments ago saying that he thinks the whole NIL landscape is completely out of control.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds like he's like scared of the new world of college football. And I'm curious.
No, what it is the balance. It's the subject. He's now subjected to leveling. I mean, being balanced out, because now the bag is called the NIL. It used to be the bag. Now the bag has a name. We're calling it the NIL. The NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. The only problem I have with the big boys is I ain't seen nobody name, nobody image on that, and nobody likeness on that. So all this money exchanging hands from the boosters and from the donors and from the givers and whatever name they've come up with. They come up with one other name. I forgot what it was. I guess when they come into a group and they just give accordingly to the different players on their team. But I ain't seen nobody endorsing that. So really, it's just another form of giving the bag. And now you don't have the upper hand, because now that's level. And you have to challenge your boosters, your alumni, and your donors to compete with all the big boys in giving. And it's gone crazy now. It really has.
I have one more quick question for you. Jimbo Fisher went pretty hard at Coach Saban and said, pretty much said he's a bad guy. there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. I'm curious what your thoughts are about it. How do you feel about Jimbo making those comments, and do you agree?
I don't attack someone's character publicly. I don't play those games, but they have a relationship. I think they coach with one another, and they know each other. They know each other behind the curtain. So what one is saying is, you got the audacity to sit here and call me a spade when I know what I know. And they got to be careful. That's why you got to be careful calling people out and signaling things out, because I know he didn't think that Coach Fisher was going to respond in that manner, but Jimbo was in kill mode, man. He went at it. And I just want them to leave us out that nonsense.
Coach Prime, we have like 30 seconds left, and I have two things for you. I know, so I can't throw two things at you, but I am. Can we get both of you and IAA on the show, like you and Coach on the show together? Because you said you want to handle it in public. That's one. And two, Coach was here. If we get y'all together, what would you say to him? You got 15 seconds.
I have not lost respect for him. First of all, I still admire him, and I still would admire him to the utmost. But I wouldn't even question why. I would say, let's just move on. I don't harbor on yesterday when I'm looking forward to today, man. I don't do that. I got to dominate today. I ain't got time for what happened yesterday.
I am Mathlete tonight with Coach Prime, a.k.a. Mr. Cody. We love you.
Appreciate you,
Coach. Both Brandon, everybody on staff, man, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all got a wonderful, blessed thing, man. Keep it going, B-Marsh. You know how I feel about you and the family, man.
Thank you, sir.
My brother, because y'all are blessing a lot of people. I really want y'all to know that. A lot of people look forward to y'all interviews, man.
Thank you.
And I do too.
Inside the Green Room with three-time NBA champ Danny Green.
Chris Paul is a 9-time defensive player on an All-NBA defensive team. But I don't mind certain guys critiquing players. You're a role player, like Matt Barnes said, to disrespect a Hall of Famer is too far. Calling somebody a cone is disrespectful, bro. I don't care. You target and cone are two different words, bro.
Don't miss an episode of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast.
Brandon Marshall, LeSean Shady McCoy, and Adam Pac-Man Jones sat down with a former three-time NBA All-Star who averaged just over 20 points a game during his 12-year NBA career. None other than Agent Zero himself, Gilbert Arenas. Now, we have some exclusive snippets of that interview that I would like to play and share our reactions to. And in this first clip, Gilbert discusses his current relationship with his former teammate, Javarius Crittenden. Now, Arenas and Crittenden were involved in a locker room altercation back in December of 2009, which involved guns and led to both players being suspended for the rest of the season.
Speaking of, Job is locked up right now. Have y'all got cool since that situation?
No. Even then, like, I was like, you know, his mother needed, because we wasn't getting NBA checks anymore. So his mother needed surgery for her neck. He asked me, because they know I'm not going to hold it personal.
That's what's up.
I'm not going to hold it personal. Yeah, I'm not going to hold it. But like, even then, I took care of him because, you know, everybody, like, nobody wanted to put him at that time. Like, even to this day, I send him cell phones. If you need a new cell phone, he gets them.
So y'all talk.
All the time.
He locked up now, though.
Yeah.
So you still stay in contact with him?
That's what's up.
Once a week. It's just like we was teammates. Man, what you think about this series? What you think about this series? We just talked basketball. All right, man, we're about to have a lockdown, so I probably won't talk to you for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, man. What do you got, 15 years?
20-something.
Yeah. Man, now the Wizards released Crittenden when his suspension was completed. He would not return to the NBA for another regular season game. He is currently serving a 23-year prison term for voluntary manslaughter with a weapon and aggravated assault with a handgun in connection with the 2011 murder of a 22-year-old woman in Atlanta. Now, Omar, when I heard this snippet and heard, Gilbert Arenas talking about he's still, you know, cool with his teammate and you know, looks out for him. You know, I believe his mother needed surgery and he kind of paid for it.
Sometimes you got to pull a gun on somebody.
Just like that?
Come on.
But I was going to ask you that. So would you still be cool with a dude to pull something on?
I mean, sometimes you got to pull a gun on somebody. Sometimes they got to pull a gun on you. It's just be like that sometimes.
I want to know to Adam Pac-Man Jones, because you were there. So what was your first initial reaction when he said he was still cool with Crittenden?
It wasn't like the story that the media portrayed it to be. He kind of set him up to do it. You get what I'm saying? He burned the gun in the locker room for him. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, so. Wow.
He didn't have a gun. Gilbert brought the gun, took all the bullets out, put the clip in. When you tune in, you'll get to hear the whole story. But the most touching part about the interview was he felt so guilty after that happened because the kid never got a job again.
Yeah, he never played again, right?
You get what I'm saying? So they became best friends through the trials and tribulations that they went through. And they was already cool. You know what I mean? They falling out. You know how it is in the locker room. You might fall out for a day with a person, then the next day you back cool with them. You get what I'm saying? But You can tell he was really passionate about it, and I think he really felt bad. I think he's probably one of the misunderstood guys that I've had to come across as far as interviewing. He was way more cooler than people make him to be. He was upbeat about everything, and he was fireball. When I'm telling you, he walk away and he talk the way he walked, he was letting it out.
Listen, that's the value of I Am Athlete, giving athletes the format and the opportunity to paint their own narrative.
Right.
And to their peers. And that's the value of it, which is why you get to see guys open up. Like the Kyrie Irving interview.
It was great.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and here's the thing. Kyrie isn't giving that interview to everybody.
Nah.
And he's not having that conversation with everybody.
Exactly.
Which is why I Am Athlete is here to stay, because athletes feel comfortable around other athletes talking as if they're in a locker room setting. It's a safe space.
100%. Yeah. And that's why we call this the locker room, right? Because it is a safe space if you have a story that needs to be told or you want to get something off your chest. To Omar Kelly's point, right? You feel more comfortable being around other athletes. Like I tell people this all the time. Like I love coming here to work because I know you weren't an athlete, Omar, but you've covered the NFL for so many years and I have a lot of respect from so many former players. But like coming here with LeSean Shady McCoy, who was a former teammate of mine, Brandon Marshall, who I've known since 2004. We were teammates in college and in the NFL. Having Adam Pac-Man Jones, like it's not work. It's like we're just in the locker room talking, man. I think that's what really separates our show.
And people don't know people else. Players talk just like this.
Exactly.
In the locker room.
Exactly.
And you got to realize that feeling, Bose, that's what people don't realize, man. I got a friend that's about to sell the Broncos. His feeling that he's missing because he's been in the locker room his whole entire life.
Yeah,
he don't know no other feeling. You get what I'm saying? He's been since diapers. He wake up, go to the equipment room, check, say hey to the guys. You know what I mean? As you get older, you build to be different things. But this feeling that we have is almost similar to being – it's probably the closest thing we can get as far as a group of guys that's been through thick and thin, I'm saying NFL-wise, as far as getting to the locker room, because we have conversation – on or off camera that goes back to, damn, man, you remember we had this conversation in the locker room?
Yeah.
So it made guys feel comfortable because collectively, regardless of where, what academic you're coming from, what if you're coming from poverty, in that locker room, all 53 or 56 guys, all of us go through similar, same and similar bullshit. And we can relate to each other because it's a brotherhood. So, yeah, it's different when you come on here and talk to us.
Yeah. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Duzable, with my teammates, Omar Kelly and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And we're discussing the I Am Athlete Miami. Next episode coming up, 12 p.m. Eastern Monday with Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero. So in this next audio clip, Arenas speaks about his sentencing for carrying weapons into the Wizards locker room and his wild plan if he had to spend time in prison.
So I had to spend a weekend in jail. So with the Weekenders. So
with the Weekenders.
Oh, yeah. Tell me right now if I'm going to get a year. If I get a year, I'm gone. I'm asleep.
You believe it?
I'm gone. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing no jail. I already seen booty monsters and shit like that on the thing. I'm not playing around with them boys, man. I'm the hell dog.
Where you was going?
Cuba, so I'm gone. Yeah, I didn't care. I got passports. So I'm out of here. Flight risk.
Bro, it was only a year.
I didn't care. I didn't care. I told my lawyer, if they say anything about a year, I'm leaving. Y'all ain't gonna find me. And I disappeared. My lawyer didn't talk to me crazy. For about 90 days. I was gone. Just in case. I was practicing, bro. I was practicing how to stay away, just use cash.
Right? Now, Omar Kelly, like, remember his dad, he was practicing. He was gone for 90 days. His lawyer didn't hear from him. He was working on just using cash. Like, where the hell? He talking about he could go to Cuba. Where the hell did he think he was going where somebody wasn't going to recognize him?
Yeah, I mean, they not going to extradite you in Cuba. So he had thought it out. I mean, sometimes you had those plans where you got to, you know, live on cash. He figured it out. Question is, he was going to miss the lifestyle, though.
Young El Chapo.
So Pac,
he was dead. I didn't mean to cut y'all both.
Too much of the episode, but like when he told y'all he was like on the run, like I'll go to Cuba. I don't give it a year. I ain't doing it. Like I heard y'all laughing, and not to give away too much of the episode because again, comes out on 12 p.m. Eastern Monday on YouTube. I Am Athlete Miami podcast. Like, what was your reaction when he was like, bruh, like
he was dead ass serious. He was dead ass serious. I really truly think that he was dead serious. I don't know what movie he said he been watching. And the funny part, he was telling us, I ain't gonna go too much in the story, but he ended up doing 30 days in a halfway house.
Oh.
He was like, man, it was this big dude that was in there. He was like 6'6", just slamming the ball against, throwing the ball hard as hell against the basket, I mean, against the backboard. Boom! And he said he was peeping. He said, boom! He said he was still peeping. He said the dude looked at him, he jumped down. Yeah. He said he jumped down like he was right there on him, but you got to go back and listen to the story. But that's young El Chapo, man. I really think he was thinking about living with cash, and he probably did. And he was serious about it, didn't talk to his lawyer until like 25 days until court. So it was funny, man. It was an unbelievable interview, too.
Could you do a year?
Me?
Year bid.
Hell yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah, if I had to, yeah. The question is, do I want to? Hell no.
I wonder, was it like a year and on good behavior, you get out in 6 months compared to, you know, trying to be on the run.
You always
Cuba and live off a straight.
You always get good behavior.
Yeah, I think it would have been maybe five, six months. He would have been out of it. Not to say any prison time is easy, but in this third clip, Gilbert shares a unique perspective on how greatness and achieving greatness does not yield many friendships, particularly for the Black Mamba.
But you know, it's all mentality.
Yep.
You know, like when we're in sports and we're on teams, our natural instinct is to fit in, right? To be liked.
To be liked.
Greatness doesn't want to be liked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
that was nice.
Nobody liked Kobe Bryant. Nobody liked, it's funny when everybody is like, yeah, mama, everybody had a mama mentality. Everybody hated the mama mentality. Yeah. Y'all hated that he thought selfish like that. Right. Now it's okay. Telling that man, take my shoes off. You ain't balling like that. Take them off. That's what greatness does. Greatness wants to challenge everybody.
Yeah, and it's interesting that he said that, right? Because we see it in scenarios today, right? You hear people say, like, there's not a lot of teammates that like Chris Paul. Not a lot of teammates really love Jimmy. I mean, guys respect those guys, but, you know, sometimes when you're trying to be great, you can't be buddy-buddy with people, right?
You got to challenge them. You got to be in their face. So, yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah, Omar, I got one question. I want to go back
when he said that.
I want to ask him, how many days can you do, Omar?
I might be able to do 30.
30?
Yeah.
Wait, so you snitching after that?
Oh, I'm snitching from the beginning.
I'm sorry, I just had to go back to that.
But from the beginning, man.
You know how it is, man. When you're so, I don't want to say self-driven, but when you are reaching for something higher than some people don't understand what you're trying to reach for, some things can come off a little arrogant. Things can come off, you know, a little snobby because I'm trying to reach for something and I'm trying to pull bits and pieces to get the best out of everything around me. And it might come off a little harsh sometimes, but knowing that my meaning wasn't to be, you know what I mean, that harsh to you. You get what I'm saying? But that's in any champion, bro.
Yeah. Now, don't forget to catch the I Am Athlete episode featuring Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero, this upcoming Monday at 12 noon Eastern on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Want more I Am Athlete tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 and 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcast. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Yoo-hoo!
SiriusXM Podcasts.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.